Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
And Swayman sticks out the glove. Krejci shoots, he's got it!
Now, the show that's all about hockey. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Ryan Johnston, Johnson Rod, and Bob Beers. Presented by Shaws and Star Market. Download the Shaws app or Star Market app and save today. Also brought to you by Devlin Energy, Mass General Brigham, Sparks Hockey, Dairy Queen, UFOS Recovery Footwear, and Sports Etc.
Welcome into another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Great to have you with us on another Saturday morning. Two full hours of Bruins and hockey talk with you. And boy, do we have a lot to cover. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, all in the Town Fair Tire Studios here this morning. We will be joined in the second hour by Ty Anderson and Billy Jaffe as well. Bruins with a matinee performance today, and an interesting one, to say the least, against the Rangers over at TD Garden. We'll preview that one a little bit today, and obviously there's been a ton going on around this team between the trade deadline moves and the injury news that we've gotten this week, and also, of course, the Bruins continuing to stockpile wins and setting records. So we'll get to all of it over the course of the next couple hours. Your phone calls, of course, at 617-779-0985. We say good morning to Judd and Bob. What's going on there, guys?
Morning.
Morning.
Boy, where do you even start with this team? It's like, you know, it under normal circumstances, we'd be, you know, talking about the four-game road trip. The Bruins go 4-0. They come back and they get a rather impressive, especially second half of that game against Buffalo, when it's 7-1. But there's so much going on off the ice around the league, too, over the course of the last few weeks. The Bruins made this trade for Orlov and Hathaway, and we talked about that extensively last week. We didn't know if there would be more. We kind of expected maybe you might see another move. And then the injury bug hits, and before you know it, Tyler Bertuzzi is a Bruin. And now you like the moves, but at the same time, there's worries about missing Taylor Hall, missing Nick Foligno, and what that does to your roster. So a lot's kind of in flux with this team coming out of the trade deadline.
I don't think there's any question about it. The GM Don Sweeney he mentioned that he had to pivot very quickly considering the injuries that you basically got on that road trip, with Taylor Hall getting hurt in Vancouver, and then Nick Foligno getting hurt in Calgary at the tail end of that road trip. And so Don Sweeney, he had to move quickly to preserve what has been a remarkable season here for the Bruins. Fastest team ever in NHL history to 100 points. But again, they're not focused on that. They're trying to focus on what's going to happen across the 2 months that begins in the middle of April. So you needed to get a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi. I'll be fascinated to see how Bertuzzi works in. He's going to play with Charlie Coyle and Trent Frederick here to start. Jim Montgomery said you may see him in some different spots. And then it was really encouraging to see the performance by Jacob Lauko, scoring a couple of goals, because, listen, he could very well be one of those guys that the Bruins ice in game one of the playoffs, no matter who they play. So you're looking for your replacements on the left side, because we haven't heard any timeline on Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno. We haven't heard exactly what the injuries are. But instead of having Hall and Foligno on your left side to begin the playoffs, it could be Bertuzzi and Lauko, possibly, for game one. So great to see Jacob Lauko come up and play the way he did. You know, let's see how Tyler Bertuzzi mixes in. It's going to be, I think Bruins fans are going to love him.
Yeah, you've got Greer there too. So, you know, what they look like today, we'll find out in a little while, obviously, but they indicated that Bertuzzi would play with Coyle. So I assume that's Frederick Coyle and Bertuzzi. And then the fourth line looks like Nosek and who am I forgetting on the
Hathaway.
Sorry.
Yep. Too many new faces.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. And then either Greer or Lauko. Excuse. What that looks like, we'll see today. But we've seen it. We've gotten a good dose now of the last few games with Orlov and Hathaway and what they can bring. And I think Orlov's bringing a little more offense than maybe he might as you move forward. But I'll take it. He's looked good. I think he's looked good with I think he's looked better on the left side than the right, but obviously he can play the right. So we'll see what they do here today, whether they go back to the beginning of the rotation, and that means Clifton sits. He won't be too happy about that, but nobody should be happy when they sit when they're playing well.
Sure. Right?
Number one defensive team in the league. Bertuzzi, I'm excited to see this guy play in a Bruins uniform. He is, I mean, they picked up three guys that are just really hard to play against. I you know, and yeah, they had to pivot. They had to reverse a little bit and go swing for the fences a little bit more because of the injuries. And they gave up a lot, no question. These guys are all unrestricted free agents at the end of the year. But I'm looking at this year. We've talked about it most of the season. They're all in. What are they going to do to add? What are they going to do to add that's going to help this team? And they've added three pieces that are – Bertuzzi scored 30 goals last season.
Mm-hmm.
He's had an off year this year, but he's been injured a lot.
And they were bad luck injuries too, both of them. Oh. I mean, you got hit
when you play hard. Sometimes you get those.
He got hit in the hand by a shot twice. I mean, that's how he ended up missing a good chunk of the season.
But he's going to play power play, and we'll see if he plays penalty kill. Maybe not right away. Maybe they'll ease him into that. But it's just they've got three guys that are playoff players. I mean,
that's what my thinking was. It's like, you know, you. A guy like Hathaway and Orlov, obviously, he's got a cup on his resume. And Hathaway is the kind of guy who, over the course of a seven-game series, other teams are just going to absolutely hate to play against. And then the same thing about Bertuzzi, right? It's just one of those guys that, you know, Bob said it, he's a playoff-type player. It's the kind of guy that in a seven-game series is going to wear you down.
The other thing you have to keep in mind with Tyler Bertuzzi, and by the way, we heard, you know, after he broke both hands, he came back recently and fought. So hopefully he doesn't have to do that. But
were those games in Canada?
They might
two games
have been.
Against Ottawa.
I don't know.
Back-to-back games against Ottawa in Ottawa. He's got to be ecstatic to be in Boston right now.
Oh, I'm sure. But remember, he's playing in a different role. He was playing for the top line for Detroit. Now, granted, we really haven't seen him this year because he's been hurt. But when he ripped it up, it was Bertuzzi, Larkin, and Mantha. Now, obviously, Mantha moved on. He's in Washington. But he was playing top line minutes, top line role. He had more responsibility. Different look here.
That line was a handful against the Bruins.
They were awesome against the Bruins, and that was the only line you really had to check and be worried about. Well, now he's going to get some different forwards to play against, different D players to play against, different responsibility. He's not going to have to lug the mail occasionally if he's not playing with Dylan Larkin. He can let Charlie Coyle do that. So different expectations, different group, different leadership core. That is here for Boston, and I think that is definitely going to help a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi.
Well, and it's, you know, as you talk about that, it's similar to what we've talked about, and obviously very different players, but it's similar to what we've talked about with Taylor Hall, right? Where in the past, in some of the other teams that he's been, he's counted on to be the number one guy. Here, he was not. You know, you're playing a second or a third line role, and it's different responsibilities, different matchups that you're going to get to face every night, and that, you know, at times we've seen how much that can help a player like that.
Oh, definitely. I don't think there's any question about it. But the other thing that's kind of struck me just looking at a lot of the moves that have taken place, and certainly a lot of big names have moved here over the last couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline, is how many guys like Hathaway, like Bertuzzi, like Orlov have moved. Yes, there have been some big names. We're going to see Vladimir Tarasenko and Patrick Kane. But I'm reading some of the headlines here from New York, and maybe it's coming off the heels of Ottawa beating the Rangers in Patrick Kane's debut at Madison Square Garden. Do the Rangers have enough grit? They really didn't target it. They picked up Tyler Mott. He got elbowed by Austin Watson, and I don't even know if he's going to play today, but I think that there's a question. Did the Rangers as a team add enough grit for some of those long playoff series? And by the way, looking ahead to today, there's a chance that the Rangers may have to play two guys short, a chance.
Well, yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. I know Toronto added a lot of, they added six new faces. Six. to an already good lineup, but they added six guys, and some of these guys are players that, you know, are harder to play against. And I mean, Tampa, what did they do? They added, Janot that's hard to play against.
Gave up a lot
gonna,
for him.
They're going to go, they gave up a ton for him, but they're going to go against each other in the first round. You know, just to kind of go on what Judd was saying, that these teams added players, they're going to try to help them. 2 years ago, the Rangers needed to add big players. They added Barclay Goodrow. They added Reeves. They added Sammy Blais. Reeves is gone. Blais gone. You know, all of a sudden now they're kind of reversing again. And so I'm not sure which direction they're going. They obviously added talent in Kane and Tarasenko, no question. But, I mean, they are to the dime. They're right up against the salary cap. And if they have injuries, they're going to have a tough time getting through these last 20-plus games.
They can't make a call-up. They cannot make a call-up, essentially. They're not even considered in an emergency situation at this point. And when they do make a call-up, it can't be for a player making more than $100,000 over the minimum. So a guy like Zach Jones, who's making north of $850,000 on defense, they can't bring him up.
Wow. that's you talk about some cap issues. I mean, that's tight.
Well, you have to manage that. Yeah. You know, and since Beersy mentioned Toronto, and I'm sure it's one of the things that at some point we'll bring up, yeah, you want to add to your team. Yeah, you want to bring into your group. You want to bolster it. But how much is too much? How much upsets the chemistry?
Six new faces. They only dressed 20 players.
Right.
And they didn't bring in a goalie, so they only dressed 18 skaters.
Right.
They've got six new faces.
You've turned over a third of your team with, you know, what, a month and a half to go in the season.
And I think there are a variety of teams.
Bruins have three, so I guess that's...
You know. We can talk about in the East, you know, what they did or what they didn't do. Carolina didn't really add much. They had Jesse Puljujarvi, who nobody wanted. Nobody wanted. Ken Holland had to dump him on Carolina. So Carolina,
he's been on the trade
him.
Block for 2 years.
Oh.
At least. So I think Gostisbehere is a good pickup for
it's
Carolina.
Team Finland. You know, so yeah, they got a little bit of extra depth there on the back end, but they never really replaced Vinny Trocheck. They never were able. They're not going to have a guy to replace Max Pacioretty, who re-injured his Achilles and is gone. They never got those players back in their lineup. So we'll see if that's enough.
All right, we'll get to your calls coming up next, 617-779-0985, as we get started here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Stay tuned for more of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Now, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just deal, how much position and the impetus to get that done?
I mean, in both Taylor and Nicky's injury situation, yeah, it took a real unfortunate turn for us. You know, there's no timeline for either one of those players in terms of when they're going to be available to us. And we're just, leaving that in the medical staff's hands to make the best judgment, moving forward. But it definitely created, a situation for us that we felt we had to fill a hole, because we just don't have a timeline at this point, and that's what we have to protect. I have to bring a player in that we feel can really help us. And then you get to the playoffs and if you're healthy and that, those are still big ifs. So that's unfortunate. We don't have a timeline. We're continuing to get some studies and allow the medical staff to make the best determination in the best interest of those two individual players. But unfortunately, the news we got was a little discouraging. But those guys will work hard and hopefully give themselves a chance. And this team is in a decent spot to be able to, take care of business.
Bruins GM Don Sweeney, no timeline on Hall or Foligno. The news discouraging. There was a report yesterday from Frank Saravelli that said Foligno could miss the rest of the regular season with his injury. And obviously with Hall placed on long-term injured reserve this week, there's a minimum timeline there. So he'll be gone for at least a few more weeks. As we welcome you back in here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers with you and your calls at 617-779-0985. A lot to react to this week. Maria in Watertown is up first. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, everyone. Jim Montgomery hit the nail on the head yesterday when he said Don Sweeney doesn't get enough credit. And I'm here to say that I'm one of the ones who doesn't give him enough credit, but I have to applaud his willingness to take a risk with draft picks, his commitment to this core group of players to give them another viable opportunity at making a long and deep Stanley Cup run. So, Mr. Sweeney, thank you. Thank you from the fan base. And let's just hope that there are no further injuries that could potentially derail this team. And just quickly on a topic that gets my blood boiling, and that is the officiating. How did that hit on Marchand not be called a penalty? Justin St. Pierre should suspend himself. And when is there going to be accountability on the part of officials when they blatantly and biasly not make calls because they look over and they see that it's number 63? It needs to stop, and the refs need to be held accountable for that once and for all. Those are my thoughts today. Thanks, gentlemen.
I appreciate the call, Maria. Fortunately, Marchand, okay, sat out the third period, precautionary. He'll be back today. And his quote yesterday was, "I feel as good as I look." And so that he said, "You can take that however you want." As far as being all in, let's talk about that part of it, because look, they made the deal with Washington, and they gave up a first rounder this year. They gave up a third rounder for next year. They gave up a second rounder for 2025, and they gave up a fifth rounder to Minnesota as part of that. That's a heck of a package. Then they have to turn around and they make the Bertuzzi trade, and that cost them another first rounder in 2024 and a fourth rounder in 2025 as well. I mean, that is kind of the definition of all in. Is, we know these guys are all unsigned for next year. Maybe they figure out a way to keep some of them around. Maybe they don't. But we've been talking about that all season long, that when you brought Bergeron and Krejci back, this was the tactic that you were going to have to take, because it was about winning a Stanley Cup this year over and above anything else in the future.
Tampa did it. Tampa's done it now for the last few years. They don't have any picks in the first couple of rounds. They've gone all in. And, you listen to their general manager talk, and he said, look, I owe it to this core to support them with the best team I can, with the best players I can. And they've done it each and every year here over the last however many years it's been. And, you win two Stanley Cups, you go to the final. I think a lot of the teams are subscribing to that. There's first round picks are going out the door like crazy this year. And the trade deadline, and I'll take it not just yesterday, you got to go back a couple of weeks, maybe to the Tarasenko trade. And then from then on, it's just been crazy. the number of draft picks that have been exchanged for really, you know, top line players. So there's a lot of teams that are in right now, and certainly the Bruins are one of them, and we understand that. They're not alone. I don't know if this is going to work. I hope it does, obviously. They're the best team in the league right now in terms of points. On paper, you add these guys, they make them that much better. Doesn't guarantee anything when the pucks drop in the playoffs. But they're not alone. There's a number of teams, whether it be the Rangers today, and whether it be Tampa, whether it be Toronto. I'm sure that I'm forgetting some in the East that have gone all in. I mean, the Islanders with Horvat. It's, you know, like Pittsburgh added some pieces that they think is going to help them here. The only team that really didn't do anything, and you mentioned Carolina. They added a couple of small pieces. Florida really didn't do anything. They're in a playoff hunt. You know, other teams started to sell in the East. But it's been, I mean, the draft picks that have gone out the door here at this deadline have been, it's been unbelievable.
You're going to wind up with, you know, over the next few years in the first round of the draft, there's going to be about 12 different teams that are splitting up all the picks.
You can try to recoup them in off-season trades.
Sure.
You know, but if you just look at, you know, you go down the draft list and see who has all the draft picks, it's none of the top teams because they're all in right now.
Before we move on to the next caller, we haven't even – I didn't even mention because of all the – kind of whirlwind that was going on this week. Well, they won nine in a row. They also locked up Pasternak this week. It's kind of lost in the shuffle of all this is that they got the Pasternak extension done at 11.25 a year, and I think Donnie Sweeney's getting a lot of credit for that, and rightfully so.
Well, I think that's a respectable number.
Yeah.
Was he going to get paid as much as Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon? No. And those are the top two contracts in the league. I think MacKinnon is just above Connor McDavid.
So eight years for 88 was the popular number just because that's his number.
So I thought that would have been just above that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I still would. I haven't necessarily heard what ultimately he got comfortable with. I remember Don Sweeney talking about it at the beginning of the season when it came to the negotiations. He said, you know, we'll have a deal when David and his camp feel comfortable. I don't know if he necessarily answered that the other day. What ultimately got him to that number where he was comfortable. I think he left a lot of this to his agent, which is just fine. And he also said he was not trying to set the market, which I think is a good thing. But for the Bruins, that's a respectable number. I know that those big numbers take up a lot of cap room. As the GM mentioned, the pie is only so big. And he's going to take up a big chunk of it. But what happens is and this is why I think that's a decent number, and hopefully the cap will start to go up here after a number of years where it's been flat, which will allow the Bruins, because if it doesn't go up significantly, having numbers like that really impacts your depth. We've talked about it earlier here on this show, that having part of the reason the Bruins are as deep as they are is they have a top two center combination, making a combined $3.5 million. That's what it is. So that allows you to fill in around those pieces. So
the bonuses will come in next year's contract.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Next year is going to be a huge challenge. We thought this year might be. Next year is going to be a huge challenge, especially if the cap doesn't go up as much as people want it to. It's supposed to go up in a few years, and you hope that it does. A lot of teams are hoping that it does. A lot of players are hoping that it does. But this year, when we say all in, I mean, I think the message is clear.
What I think is really important is not only do you get Pasternak signed for the next years, but I think what's really hard for teams to win consistently over a long period is to transition from core to core. So the Bruins have changed the core. You know, pieces like Rask and Chara, those guys, they're gone. You know, so now you've added McAvoy's in the fold, Lindholm's in the fold, Pasternak's in the fold. You've got Carlo signed long term. Ullmark's going to be here for a little bit. You're about to sign Jeremy Swayman. So I think that's where I credit what the Bruins have been able to do is transition from one core to the next. And even if some of those guys that we're seeing today are not going to be back tomorrow, Orlov, Bertuzzi, some of those, you know, and some of the other unrestricted free agents they have, the Bruins are still going to be competitive for a long period of time because they've locked up a lot of younger core pieces.
All right, we'll continue. We'll talk more about the Bruins, and we're going to talk more about the trades that were made around the NHL this week. Ray Ferraro, who will be calling the game for ABC this afternoon, is going to join us on the other side as we continue here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
You're listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerot, Bob Beers. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show continues. Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerot, Bob Beers with you. And now we go out to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, and we're happy to welcome in Ray Ferraro, veteran of over 1,200 NHL games, longtime broadcaster, and he'll be on the call alongside Sean McDonough today as the Bruins take on the Rangers, that game being televised on ABC. Ray, appreciate the time this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Nice day you guys have dialed up here. Beautiful.
Hope you got in time, Ray.
I just got in. Now I'm hoping to get out tonight. I don't know. A little dicey.
Ray, I was curious, just looking at your career history, I think you were dealt twice at the NHL trade deadline. What were those experiences like?
Well, a little different both times. The one from New York to L.A., that one got me by surprise. I had just signed a four-year deal in New York the previous July, and in March, they decided they were going to make a move, and you know, they wanted to bring in Marty McSorley and Jari Kurri. Couple old Oiler guys went back to the Rangers, and I ended up going to L.A. and it was devastating. It stunk, and it also sucked because I went to the Rangers because I thought this was my best chance as a free agent that. They had, you know, they were a year removed from the cup, and I thought, like, that, you know, I got a chance to win. And then I went to L.A., and I was the old guy at the start of a rebuild. And, there's a lot of hard nights. The last one was in Atlanta, and if you guys remember that story, the Atlanta franchise, we didn't win very much. So I got traded to St. Louis, and I was pumped. But in both cases, I will say this. For everybody that got traded, happy or not, your life gets tipped over in an instant. Like everything, you know, if you've got kids and family, you've got to figure that out. You move on to the next place. You don't know your teammates, or maybe, you know, one or two, and you know, you don't know the coach and you don't know where you fit. It's just it's a really chaotic time. I will say, not many people start like Orlov did. Like that's really rare where you just jump in and everything just goes click, click, click for you. That's really impressive.
Have you seen a deadline like this where, I mean, there's so many teams that are just, they're all in, you know, whether it's the Bruins, the Leafs, Tampa every year, you know, you can add a couple of other teams to that list, the Rangers, and so many picks, so many high draft picks move and so many high profile players move.
Beersy, I don't remember it at this volume, and I don't remember it that the swings the teams are making are so significant. Now, it might not turn out this way, but there's a real possibility the Rangers and the Devils are going to play in the first round, as are the Leafs and Tampa. And in 12 days, two of those teams are done. Everything that they've traded, all their futures that they've traded, it's all for naught. But here's the thing. It's like, if you think you're good, which obviously those teams do, you can't always play for tomorrow. I mean, like, what are you playing for? Aren't you playing eventually to win? And the crazy part is, if those teams even get through their first round series, it's likely Boston's probably hanging there for your door number three prize.
Hope so.
Like, yeah, like, you know, like, this conference is murderous this year. The thing that I was a little surprised at was, I think over in the West, the path is a lot more simple. And so I thought teams might take even bigger hacks at it out there. But sometimes the deals just aren't there. Like, you want to add a centerman, and the deal's not there. I do think it's pretty comical. Like, those of us in the media and the fans are like, well, can't they see they need to add a defenseman? Yes, they know. They just can't do it. I'm like, if we know, do you think the managers that push name tags around in their, you know, in their big board in the office every week? Of course they know. It's just not that simple. And just to your point, all the picks and the values that are so important going forward, you've got to quantify what that all means. What does it mean? And, you know, you guys got a great example here in Boston of, you know, there's a real push to, you know, you've got to hire new people. Then, you know, it's all these retreads that have been around for years and all that. Look at what experience, I think this is maybe instructive for almost any team. Look at what experience gained can do for a manager. Remember Donnie Sweeney's first draft?
Yes.
It gets brought up once.
Quite a few people remember that around here.
Yeah. So, but my point is, he had a plan, right? Was to accumulate those picks, and then he was going to move a couple of them to jump up in the draft. I forget who was up in that draft, but they wanted to move up in that draft.
It was Provorov, Werenski, and it was Hanifin.
Right,
three
right,
defensemen.
Right, and it fell flat. And I vividly remember the image of him sitting at the table, you know, at the draft table when he had to go back up there and make that third pick, and he was, you know, kind of sweating and like the pressure to get it done in that moment, and it just didn't. He just couldn't execute the plan because whatever else happened with the other teams left him short. And now look at him this year. He's put together a team. Like, honestly, guys, I'm not just because I'm on in Boston. I think it's the perfectly constructed team. I really do. And what's crazy about that is at the start of the year, I was like many that said, man, if the Bruins can just hang on till they get McAvoy and Marchand and Greslick back, I think they'll be okay. You know, how's David Krejci going to do? He's a little older. Well, Donnie and the management group had the patience and the confidence that they had the right group in place. Now, nobody thought this was going to be, but that's what experience does. Look at how they lose Hall and Foligno, and they've got enough cap space left by putting, you know, with the LTI stuff to go get Bertuzzi. Like, that's a move somebody scrambling around is not going to be able to make. It's really impressive.
Well, Ray, since you bring up Tyler Bertuzzi is going to make his Bruins debut here today, how different a look does it give the Bruins having Bertuzzi on the left side versus an injured Taylor Hall?
Well, they certainly don't go with the same pace. I mean, you know, Taylor can really go and still can. Bertuzzi's kind of an unmade bed, really. Like, when you watch him play, like, he's, you know, he's not the smoothest skater. There's always a pile of, you know what, following him around, like around the scrum, around the net, around the loose puck. He's always kind of flailing away at it. He's really got a knack 10 or 12 or 15 feet in. You know, like he wins the puck out of the corner. He'll get to the front. He's got good hands around the front. But, like, he's not going to transport the puck like Taylor Hall can. That's just not going to happen. One thing, Beersy, I know you like little quirky things. I don't know if he'll be like that because it's his first game, but check him out on the bench. I've never seen a guy change gloves more than him. It is. I'm telling you, I was doing a game in Detroit, and I was like, they almost needed a conveyor belt. I was standing right between the benches, and it's like, gloves, like shift after shift. And I'm like, I'm thinking about that first period when the forwards are down at the middle of the ice. Like, how are they going to get those gloves down? He might not ask today. He might just be, I'll just get through the day today.
Is that a hands thing? Like, oh, I didn't like my hands that shift. I got to change the gloves.
It must have been Beersy. We would have had gloves stacked up to the roof.
I was only allowed one pair of gloves. Right? Hey, so you're down between the benches. You know, the Bruins already have Marshy. We know what he can do when with chirping. You were a guy that liked to do a little bit of that yourself. And now they add three guys. You had Hathaway, you had Bertuzzi, and I'll throw Orlov in there. He might not chirp as much, but he plays a hard game, right? It's going to be entertaining down there, I think, between the benches today for you.
It is. You know what else impresses me, though, is like the Bruins play with just really, like, there's a calmness and a discipline and a, yeah, we've all been here before, right? And I really sense it in, well, they're not behind very much, but when the game goes sideways, there doesn't seem to be any real panic or, you know, guys taking, like, I got to take the game into my own hands. They plow ahead, straight ahead all the time. And I do think, like, Bertuzzi's got an energy to him that is maybe a little different than that. But when you're sitting there on the bench and you're looking down the bench and everybody else is one way, you're gonna find your way into that style. So I don't think they become more wild or unpredictable. What I do think is they're gonna be hard. Well, they already are hard to play against, but they're gonna be hard physically to play against too. And once, if possible, they get Foligno and Hall back, that's gonna be, you know, if that's in the playoffs or what have you, that's going to be a pretty loaded lineup. Like when I said perfectly constructed, it's not because they just got, you know, some nice lines and a great goaltending tandem. It's like they've got depth and they've got options in their lineup, and most teams just don't even come close to that.
Well, Ray, one of the things that you mentioned right off the hop was Dmitry Orlov, the way he has fit in here early. Now, he's played with a lot of different defensemen here at the start. He's played the right side. He's played the left. Where do you think, like, he fits best?
I don't know. You know, I'm actually have you guys seen the lineup today? I have not.
Not yet.
No, we have a guess to it, but we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so I'm curious, like, who's the guy that draws the short straw today on the blue line?
Well, if they go back to the start of the rotation, it would be Connor Clifton, because I don't think they're at the point right now where Lindholm or McAvoy sits. They're going to have a really busy schedule coming up, and you might see it in the future, but I don't think they're at that point yet. But I don't know that for sure.
And that was my point, or going to be my point about the options and to Orlov, is that where does he fit best? I don't know that you end up with one particular place that he does fit best. And what a great thing to be able to do. Like, there's going to be different teams that are going to provide a different challenge matchup wise. And maybe you like him with McAvoy sometimes, or maybe you move him on the right with Lindholm sometimes. And it'll depend on who their playoff opponent is. It'll depend on the way the game is going. Every once in a while, a player gets traded out of their comfort zone. And Patrick Kane has talked about this with the Rangers, is that you're in your comfort zone. You go to the rink the same way. You play with the same partner for years, or you're on the same line for years, and then all of a sudden it changes. And some guys adapt to that really well. And they like the challenge. They like the freshness. I did one of Orlov's last games in Washington. It might have been his last game. And I thought, man, I knew his name was out there, and I'm like, man, he's really flattened off. It's like he had lost his, I don't know, I don't mean it that he'd lost his inspiration to play, but he lost his edge. in Washington. He's been there so long, you can smell the end coming. And now he's got this fresh start. And, he sure looked good. He sure looked like he's been the perfect fit here.
Ray Ferraro joining us. He'll be on the call today between the benches, along with Sean McDonough, as the Bruins and Rangers get going on ABC at 1 o'clock. The Rangers, since they're in town, they got going early on the trade deadline with the Tarasenko deal. They made the Tyler Mott trade. And then this week, they swing the Patrick Kane deal. What do you think of the Rangers roster top to bottom as far as their chances, and what do those additions do for their chances to go deep in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy to like the look of the roster. The gymnastics and stuff that they had to do to get to the roster it's been unprecedented, really. I mean, they looked like a Bantam team the other night. They had 16 players, lots of room on the bench. But that's the way they had to do it. So here are my concerns with the Rangers. I think they're very good. I think their goalie is really good that hasn't had a really good season this year. He needs to be way better if they're going to be a legit contender. They do seem to have a lot of the same type of pieces, and the offense looks great. Historically, it looks great, but I don't know if you saw their power play the other night. So they're trying to fit in Panarin, Zibanejad, Kane, Fox, and Kreider on that first power play. I mean, there's five players. They all fit, except where do they all go? And so they tried Zibanejad in the bumper spot. It looked odd. It's like playing a first baseman at shortstop. It just didn't look right. And so Zibanejad, this year, he's got 127 shots on the power play, just behind Pasternak's got 131. And now you put him in the bumper because you need a place for Kane and Panarin to play. Like, it's a real complication. You can say it's a good one. Like, these are good problems to have. They're only good problems to have if you can solve them. And I don't know that they can necessarily to where people are going to be comfortable to be in the right spot. It's really going to be interesting. This is a major chemistry experiment. And until you find your groove or everybody settles in, you don't really know what you have. But time goes fast now. Beardsley, I'm sure you remember after the deadline. Holy smokes, all of a sudden you're like, we got 8 games left. Like, it happens super fast.
It's a big weight off a lot of people's shoulders. I know that. Not so much mine. Yeah. I didn't worry too much at the deadline, Ray.
Hey, let me give you one quick story. I'm in L.A., and Luke Robitaille and I are riding the bike right near the deadline. And I said to him, we called him Lucky, and I was like, hey, Lucky, are you worried about getting traded? And he said, no, I got a no trade. And I said, really? Like, nobody had no trade stats in the mid-90s. And I go, really? You got a no trade? He goes, yeah, 13 goals, $3.5 million, no trade.
So you were the guy that everybody wanted then, right? Twice at the deadline.
Oh, yeah, they wanted or something or whatever. I don't know if it was a want or, hey, we're making a move and you're it.
Ray, last thing before we spring in, we really appreciate you being so generous with your time. If memory serves, you won a Memorial Cup with Cam Neely in Portland. What was your favorite yes. Neely story from that year?
It would be right, well, two things. Right at the very start, we had heard about this 17-year-old kid from Maple Ridge, BC, that was going to come in and was going to play on the top line. And we're like 17 years old. Like, I was only 18, but I mean, it's like, it seemed like such a young player to come in, and nobody knew Cam really. He was not playing high level hockey in BC at the time, and he shows up at camp. I'm like, geez, he's kind of big, And that was of course the first thing you notice. And then he was playing with a guy named Ken Yaremchuk, who was the first round pick by the Blackhawks, and Kenny could fly. And Cam would just get into position and when we saw him shoot, we're like, oh boy, this guy's going to be a player. And so that was the first thing. The second thing was he started beating up people on a regular basis. And now the game then was, of course, a little different. And so that was more frequent than it would be today. And he just, like halfway through the year, we started hearing, like, you know, I think he's rated in the first round. And we're like, well, yeah, I think so. Like, people need to get out and watch. Like, he was so good, so fast. And he played the same way all the time, which was, you know, in junior hockey is almost impossible to do because of the travel, you know, and the age of the players. You know, here's a 17-year-old that's kind of beating up people and pushing people around. And, he's doing it to 19 and 20-year-olds. I mean, that's a pretty big difference. And he was so good as soon as he got to the league. It was really he was one of our best players as a rookie in the league.
Hope he didn't bump you off the power play.
Beersey, with that power play, that was not a place for me. I was the third line center on that team. There was nowhere to go. And actually, there was somewhere to go. At the end of the year, we won the Memorial Cup, and then they traded me to Brandon.
You had a pretty good year in Brandon, I saw.
Yeah, that actually turned out to be the best thing ever. But that was the old, hey, congratulations, you guys won the Memorial Cup, and yeah, well, try Brandon, Manitoba next year. And that's where I went.
Ray, thanks so much for your time this morning. Look forward to seeing you and Sean on the call today, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, take care, guys. We'll see you down the rink.
We'll see you over there. Thanks, Ray.
Ray Ferraro. He'll be on ABC this afternoon as the Bruins take on the Rangers. That is a 1 o'clock faceoff. Of course, Judd and Bob will have the call here on the radio side as well. We've got another hour still to go on the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show. Ty Anderson will join us. Billy Jaffe will join us. And we'll take more of your calls as well at 617-779-0985.
This is the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.